Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Abdul Nasser Jengda and you're listening to the Qalam podcast. Qalam is an organization dedicated to making Islamic knowledge accessible for everyone. Alhamdulillah, the month of Ramadan is a very beautiful and powerful opportunity for learning and spiritual growth in the life of a Muslim. Therefore, Qalam has put together amazing resources for you and your family, your community to benefit from in the month of Ramadan, from a webinar on how to prepare to recitation of the entire Quran, the meaning and the message of the whole Quran, the du'as from the Quran, special webinars and events in regards to the Battle of Badr, the last 10 nights and Laylatul Qadr, and so much more. We're very excited and happy to bring you all of this Ramadan programming. Be a part of the good work that we are doing at Qalam, educating Muslims, educating people all around the world by going to supportqalam.com. Donate, contribute, give generously, and have your share in the Sadaqa Jariya and the amazing work that is going on. Supportqalam, QALAM.com. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa. Khususan ala sayyidir rusuli wa khatamil anbiya wa ala alihi al-askiya wa ashabihi al-atqiya. Amma ba'd. Before we start today's story of the Quran, I wanted to share an introductory point. And this point is something established from the Quran itself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to us very clearly, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًا. Shaytan is your enemy, so treat him as an enemy. When we see the Quran and its guidelines and the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the ultimate goals behind these restrictions and these guidelines, these commandments and prohibitions, is to save us from falling in the trap of shaitan. These rulings are not purely subjective, that if you feel like doing this, then do that, and if you don't feel like doing this, then leave it. Rather, the Quran gives us very clear guidelines. And sometimes your intention may be good, but if the action is categorically prohibited and haram, then you need to stay away from that action. Because intentions can change. And that's where shaitan is the master. We turn to the Quran and we see in Surah Al-Hashr, verse number 16 and 17. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals these verses in relationship to a story. Some Mufassirun say that these verses were revealed in regards to the Battle of Badr. While other commentators of the Quran, the earliest from the Sahaba's time, they held the position that this was actually revealed regarding an incident that occurred among the people of Banu Israel. Now there are two narrations here. One is from Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. And the second riwayah, the second narration, is from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. I'm going to try to combine both narrations and deliver them to you. And you'll see why this introduction that I presented before you is so important. For us to understand that Islam and the teachings of Islam, the legal aspect of Islam, the guidelines from Sharia are applicable to every person. And it doesn't matter how righteous or pious you think you are not above Islamic law. There is no way any human being can ever claim that Islamic law doesn't apply to me if they are mukallaf. Mukallaf meaning that person is mature and has sanity. If you have that much, now Islamic law applies to you regardless of what your qualifications are. And that's the beauty of Islam, that the law that I hold you accountable to, you can easily also hold me accountable to that law. That very same guideline that applies to you applies to the imam of the community as well. Because we're all equal when it comes to this. So the story is that there was a very righteous man in Banu Israel whose name is Barsis. Some have called him Barsisa with the alif at the end, while other commentators have just called him Barsis. There was a man by the name of Barsis. He was a pious man. He was known for worshipping. According to the narration of Ali radiallahu anhu, he describes him as someone who worshipped Allah excessively for decades, dedicated his life to worship. One narration suggests that there was a family of four brothers who desired to go for jihad, fight in the path of Allah, but they were unable to do so because they had a sister and they needed someone to watch over their sister. While the other narration tells us that their sister was actually sick and they needed someone to provide a service in trying to cure her. According to the narration where she was sick, they took their sister to this pious man and they said, "Is there any cure that you can provide for our sister?" He did some ruqyah, he read something, and therefore she was cured. In that moment, Barsisa, he then built a relationship with this young girl, which then had a snowball effect and led them to a very bad place. We're going to stop that narration there. We come back to the other narration. These four brothers had gone for jihad and they left their sister behind. Barsisa reluctantly accepted. He looked after this young girl, provided food for her, and after some time, you know, they begin conversations, talking, and then as they started talking, they developed feelings for one another, and then once again, they found themselves in that very same place where this snowball had grown so big because of the snowball effect that neither of them had the ability to hold it up anymore, and they both collapsed. What started off as something good, what started off as something that was righteous and had a virtuous intention to it, unfortunately, because they didn't know where to stop. Is it okay for a man and woman to interact? Sure it is. Islam has guidelines. Is it okay for two people from the opposite gender to talk? Of course there is. There are so many narrations of Sahaba and Sahabiyat speaking to one another. But Islam has guidelines. Those guidelines are very important. Because if you don't know where to stop in your communication, if you don't know where to stop in your conversations, you can find yourself in a very compromised place. I know many Muslims who have their businesses and have their own practices and their own law firms, and they have people working underneath them, and because they couldn't maintain proper boundaries, very soon they found themselves in a place where their marriages were now at risk. Their family members found out of what was going on. That there was more than just a professional relationship going on here. It started off with casual conversations, and then from there became something more intimate. And then sometimes it even goes way beyond that, as we'll see in the story of Barsisa. This person, his relationship with this lady became intense until they reached a point where they engaged in the act of zina. As a result of this, she became pregnant. He now had to do something about this because he had this image of being a monk, someone who took an oath to never be married and have sexual relations. And now he just had a relationship with this lady and she's expecting. If people find out, he will be defamed. They will take him down. He will be potentially even executed. So Barsisa has to do something. In that moment, Shaitan comes to him and says, "You have one option, and that option is kill her. If you kill her, bury her before anyone finds out, her body will be gone, the child will be gone. When her brothers come back, they ask you, 'Where is our sister?' Say, 'Things weren't doing too well for her. She got very sick. She passed away and I buried her.'" Barsisa, for some reason, thought this was a good idea. Right? And this is the crazy part. Shaitan leads you to the sin, gets you involved in the sin, then begins to whisper to you that you can cover up as well. And that's when things get messy because you start slipping. Barsisa, he murdered this innocent lady. Innocent wasn't, she didn't commit a crime to be killed. That's why I called her innocent. She committed zina, but that doesn't mean she should be killed. He kills her. He wraps her body up. He buries her. He tells the brother the story that I'm innocent. Nothing happened. She was sick. She died. I buried her. So that's the end of that story. The brothers moved on, but however, when they went to sleep, they saw a dream. And in their dream, they kept seeing that their sister was murdered. So some time passed by and they couldn't let it slide anymore. They went to the monk and they confronted him. They said, did you harm our sister? He said, no, I didn't do anything. They said, show us her grave. We're going to excavate her body. We want to examine it. So reluctantly, he showed the grave. He had no choice. These were four strong soldiers. How was he going to say no to them? So he shows them the grave. You can imagine how terrified he was. They pull the body out and they see clearly she was murdered. And there was a child there. So they turned to Barsisa and they were in fumes. They tied him up and were prepared to kill him. In that moment, right before he died, Shaitan approached him one last time and said, hey Barsisa, I got you in all of this. I got you in all of this. I can get you out too. All you need to do is do one sajda in front of me. Prostrate once in front of me. I know you're tied up. Just lower your head and that'll be enough. Barsisa, in that moment, right before they hung him, lowered his head. Shaitan laughed at him and they hung him and killed him in kufr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala references this story in the Quran, in Surah Al-Hashr. And it's a terrifying story because it shows us that sometimes your ego, your inner self, your nafs could be at the strongest point, which some scholars would refer to as nafsul mutma'inna, but can then sway to being at the weakest point, which is what we call nafsul ammara. Right? So you have nafsul ammara is when your inner self is at its weakest point, where shaitan can easily attack you. And then you're at the strongest point, nafsul mutma'inna, where you're very well connected to Allah. Ya ayyatuha nafsul mutma'inna. You're right there, you're strong, you're content with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decree. But because you're there, you can't let your guard down and start doing things that go against the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you can easily sway over here. And sometimes you're over here and you're so weak, but then you can get strong. And you can develop that strength and die as a friend and wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a riwayah that Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala quotes in his Arba'een, which really strikes a note with me when I read this story, in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, sometimes a person is very close to the fire of hell and lands in Jannah. And then sometimes a person is very close to Jannah, but finds himself in the fire of hell. Because they try to skip and go around and create loopholes. So this is something that's very important. The trap of shaitan is what? He exposes you to the sin, beautifies the sin in your eyes, lures you to the sin, gets you involved in the sin. Once you commit the sin, he helps you carry the guilt of it and bury it away. And right when you think you've gotten away with everything, bam, he's the one who exposes you. Because getting you addicted to a sin isn't going to lead to kufr, and shaitan's ultimate game is to lead people to disbelief. But once you've lost all honor and dignity in the face of every person that looks at you, then what do you have left to live for? And that's where you'll find people at the lowest in their lives. So remember this, that even if people don't know what you hide, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. And just because people may not know what your personal and private life is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. If you're young, develop yourself, be strong, be confident, become successful, and get married and protect yourself. And if you're married, wipe away all of these whispers of shaitan. They're never ending. Find peace. Find tranquility at home. Make dua to Allah every time you raise your hands. Ya Allah, protect me from the fitnas of shaitan. Ya Allah, be with me until the end and don't abandon me even for the blink of an eye. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects us all. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Actually, before I close, let me at least read the ayat before you. Then we'll close inshallah. The ayat number 16, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَمَثَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِذْ قَالَ لِلْإِنسَانِ اكْفُرْ فَلَمَّا كَفَرَ قَالَ إِنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِّنْكَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهَ رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. And then in 17, فَكَانَ عَاقِبَتَهُمَا أَنَّهُمَا فِي النَّارِ خَالِدَيْنِ فِيهَا وَذَلِكَ جَزَاءُ الظَّالِمِينَ. That the end result of both of them, they will be in the fire of hell, shaitan and his one plus. فِي النَّارِ خَالِدَيْنِ فِيهَا وَذَلِكَ جَزَاءُ الظَّالِمِينَ. And that is the punishment and the outcome of those that are oppressive. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.